Hi, everybody. Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop coming to you from 920 The Game. Hope you're having a great week and enjoying this wonderful weather that we've got going on. We've got a lot to talk about. Cinco de Mayo. We've got the Kentucky Derby. We've got the Canelo fight. But we're going to start off talking boxing. And we're thrilled and honored to have Hall of Fame boxing ref Joe Cortez with us in studio. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Jonathan.
It's great to meet you the other day over at the Las Vegas Country Club.
Yes, yes. We had a nice luncheon there with Joe Brown, former executive commissioner from the Las Vegas boxing. And it's always a pleasure to be there. You meet a lot of good people from all walks of life at that luncheon.
I did. It was my first time. I was invited by my neighbor, John Flood, who's another fellow Chicago guy.
Right. Uh-huh.
And John was, he was a police officer for years. And
right.
He's got some colorful stories,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Also joining us from the world of Baja racing and cigarette boat racing and all kinds of history in Las Vegas, my friend Tom Bradley's going to be here in a little bit. But first, let's talk about Joe Cortez, an American boxing referee who's officiated many, many important world title bouts, inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 2011. What was that like for you?
Well, it was amazing. I'll tell you, when I got that call that I was on the ballot, that was great, great just hearing that. But then when I got the call, and I don't know if it's going to be called to say, Joe, maybe you didn't get it this year, you get it maybe another time. But they called me to tell me, Joe, you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame 2011. So I kind of choked up like anybody else would. I mean, it was just an amazing moment and honored to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Now, of course, I've seen you on the screen. I've seen you as a ref, but I didn't know that you actually started as a boxer. You had 10 wins and one defeat.
Well, our record, boxer has to be 10-1, but my original record is 18-1. And, I retired with only one loss on my record. And I had some fights in Mexico but not registered on the box rec.
But, and you also had an early career as an executive assistant manager as a hotel manager.
Yes, I was at the El Conquistador Hotel with the LTI One Corporation. I was with them for 15 years. And I was on property for 8 years. And the last seven, I was casino operations manager for the LSA One Corporation. We had three casinos, and I ran that out of our New York sales office.
Also joining us, my co-host for the last 9 years, Jeffrey with a G. Jeffrey with a G, line one, go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good. And we're talking with Joe Cortez. Joe started in 1977 as a referee.
As a referee, yes, and prior to that, I was an amateur fighter. I fought in the Golden Gloves.
Now, I pulled this off of Wikipedia, so... Yeah, I always check it. I'm going to say if anything's off, then, certainly speak up.
Sure.
In the 80s, you took on the responsibility to referee some major championship fights. Third man in the ring in several professional Mike Tyson and Roberto Duran fights?
Yes, I refereed Mike Tyson on 9 occasions. Roberto Duran about 4 times. Oscar De La Hoya 6 times. Julio Cesar Chavez 6 times. Manny Pacquiao about 3 times. And Floyd Mayweather 4 times. And down the line, close to 180 world championship fights under my belt.
See, it says 170.
Well, okay. Well, they missed a few there.
It shorted you by 10 fights.
Yeah.
It says Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez, Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe's first title fight, and the match that saw 45-year-old George Foreman become the oldest world heavyweight champion.
Yes. That was an honor for me to referee in that fight. That was a punch that was heard around the world when George Foreman knocked out Michael Mora. As you all know, George Foreman was losing that fight up until the 10th round when he connected Michael Mora with a straight right hand. But the good thing about George Foreman, he's an amazing man. I mean, at 45, but 20 years prior to that, he conquered the heavyweight title and knocking out Joe Frazier. Hey, 20 years later, he comes back after being retired for about 10 years, comes back and becomes heavyweight champion of the world. That's unheard of.
And you're known for and you actually trademarked the term I'm fair but firm, or I'm firm but fair. Which way is it?
I'm fair but I'm firm.
Yeah. And you have a website. That's your website,
yeah,
too,
my
right?
Website, fair but firm, yeah.
Fair but firm.
Fairbutfirm.com.
And again, correct me if Wikipedia's off here, but you were in the first Rocky movie?
I was in Rocky Balboa movie, which was the sixth one, really.
Oh, was the sixth
one. And I did one with Eddie Murphy, I Spy, one with Antonio Banderas, Play to the Bone, and one Wesley Snipes, Undisputed. So I've been pretty lucky being involved as an actor, playing myself as a referee in those movies.
Well, my friends always say they don't pay you for the acting, they pay you for the waiting.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, good thing with the Rocky movie, when you have a speaking part and you're a SAG member, is you get residual checks for the rest of your life.
That's the best part, right?
That's the best, especially with the Rocky movies, yes.
Fight of the year, refereed was Amir Khan versus Marcos Medina in 2010. Called it one of the most outstanding, skillful, and exciting championship fights that you ever refereed.
Well, that's not one of the most. That's one of them, but that'd be a disability great ones that I referee. Of course, Roberto Duran, when he became middleweight champion of the world, knocking out Iran, beating Iran Barkley, put Iran Barkley down the 11th round. That was a great fight. But I mean, I did Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez, the first one at Caesar's Palace, and of course, referee Evander Holyfield, Reddick Bowe, number one and number three, and referee Mike Tyson 9 times. And one of the big one of his was when he knocked out Larry Holmes. So I've been in there with some of the big boys for many years. Some of the Manny Pacquiao's on 3 occasions.
You ever get hurt?
I never got hurt. No, I've been pretty lucky. I was tell the referee when I give 7 hours, when you say break, don't yell break. When you come in and yell break from the outside, then you walk in. if you walk in and say yell break, the chances are you're going to get clipped.
So in 2012, you retired from refereeing after the Canelo Alvarez versus Josito Lopez fight. Is that accurate?
That's correct, yes.
And are you still a boxing analyst for ESPN?
No, we just finished wrapping up a 5-year contract I had with them. And now I'm just doing my old shows on the Fair But Firm show on Tuesday on Facebook. And I do a lot of media stuff. I have the Fair But Firm show on Mondays, and I have a radio talk show on Saturdays.
Now, what was it like working with Conor McGregor, transitioning from mixed martial arts to boxing?
Well, I got a call one day about training Conor McGregor on the rules on boxing. In other words, when he was sparring in the ring, they had me in there with him 8, 10, 12 rounds per day, and we did that about 3 or 4 times a week to make sure that he understood the rules on boxing. I was dressed as a referee for those training sessions. Yes, he could get acclimated to a referee being right on his back, correcting him. I even took a point from him during the training session. Yes, so he got a feel for what it would be in the real fight when he fought Floyd Mayweather. The good thing about it was that I had 5 weeks with him, and it was a lot of exciting moments. And I made sure that we kept things under control, and he did pretty good considering that was his first fight as a boxer, and walked away with a cool $100 million. So that was not bad.
More than they'll ever make in the UFC.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather made about $250 million for that fight.
Almost as much as he made against Pacquiao.
Yeah, again, exactly. We're here with Hall of Fame referee.
Joe, do you find you have to change your style depending on who's fighting? In other words, before do you get in the ring, are you studying the fighters that you're going to be officiating for their different styles? Obviously, a guy like Tyson, he get pretty rowdy. A guy like Floyd, who's very defensive and doesn't throw, well, he'll throw punches, but he's very calculating in how he fights.
Well, one thing that I tell all referees when I give seminars, I've trained for 35 years, so I've been had the honor of giving seminars to referees all over the world. And one of the things I always tell them is you have the opportunity to study these fighters. Now, you go on YouTube, you can see a lot of these fighters study their styles to see any bad habits they may have. This way, you can address it. You can address them in the dressing room prior to the fight. I tell referee, you take control back at the dressing room, it makes it easier for you in the ring. So, it's important that we study the fighters, seeing so know the style that they have, what to look for. Some fighters like to hit low. Some fighters like to hit intentional headbutt.
Some like to bite ears.
I wear little earmuffs like you got on now.
Evander would have done well with those, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So Saturday, 6 p.m., saw Canelo Alvarez, 51 wins, 1 loss, 2 ties, 35 KOs versus Daniel Jacobs, 35 wins, 2 losses, 29 KOs for the WBA, WBC, and IBF middleweight titles. T-Mobile Arena, Alvarez is favored, -450 with Jacobs the underdog. At +350.
Well, let me tell you one thing. Danny Jacobs is one of the most dangerous fighters in the middleweight division. And I interviewed him 2 months ago. And he told me, Joe, I'm very surprised. My whole team were very surprised that Canelo's people accepted me as his next opponent. Because, you know, he has a deal with DAZN for 11-fight deal. That he got to sign a contract for $365 million. That's an average of roughly about $33 million.
Who's that, Canelo?
Canelo. That's an average of about $33 million per fight. And win or lose, but I mean, he took out one of the toughest ones out there. I mean, he could have went with somebody else.
You mean taking on Jacobs?
Yeah.
Well, he's coming off back-to-back fights with Triple G.
Yeah, well, but that's a tough fight.
Yeah.
He could fight a guy Danny Jacobs is a former middleweight champion. He got 29 knockouts out of 35 fights. He's not easy fighter to go up against. And Danny Jacobs is a good puncher. I mean, this is going to be one of the tough ones for Canelo. But again, I have to stick with Canelo on this fight for the simple reason that he's been fighting a bunch of decent fight. He hasn't been picking on no palookas out there. He's been, you know, a good opposition in the past, and I think that it'll be a good match tomorrow night. It'll be very competitive on both sides.
But where does Canelo have the edge in this fight?
He has the edge with the. He's a good body puncher.
Southpaw.
He knows that. No, he's not southpaw.
But he can fight southpaw.
He can if he has it, but he doesn't. I think it'd be foolish to try to do that Danny Jacobs has the height. He has the reach. He has a good punching power. They call him Danny the Miracle Man. You know, Danny suffered from cancer. Came back. He's a cancer survivor. And, you know, you can take your hat off to him. He's a fighter that has a lot of talent.
Superfan Tom White is here in the studio as well. And Tom's got a question
Hey,
for
Joe.
How are you?
Good to meet you.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I have a question. I mean, I'm a kind of an old school guy when it comes to boxing. And I remember the Sugar Ray Leonard and Ray Durand and but those kind of fights. And how would you compare the fighting styles over the last 30 years? How have these fighters changed in that period of time? Well, and what do you think is better?
Well, if you look at an old fighter like Sugar Ray Robinson, I mean, he's the kind of fighters that you have like Floyd Mayweather today, and you know Oscar De La Hoya, a classy fighter. They're not brawlers. They come out there they have the sweet science of boxing, and they really fight. They don't go out there. You got a brawler like Manny Pacquiao. He's a
puncher.
He's a puncher, a good boxer, but he's not a slick boxer. That's why he gets hit a lot. You get a guy like Floyd Mayweather who doesn't take that many punches because the name of the game is hit and don't get hit. And I remember in the old days, yeah, but some of the trainers today, I believe some of the trainers have to be, I say train the trainers. There's a lot of trainers that are out there that think that they're trainers. I call them gym rats. They hang around the gym and now they think that they're good trainers. And a real good trainer, a guy like Freddie Roach, and you have a Buddy McGirt. And back in the old days, you had Freddie Brown, and you had Whitey Bimstein. And you had some good trainers back in the Ruby Goldstein. No, I mean, what's his name? He trained Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard.
Manny.
The Italian guy from Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And may he rest in peace. Angelo Dundee. Angelo Dundee is one of the great ones as well. But you get a lot of trainers today. You see these guys at the gym. You see them in the ring with these fighters. You don't know who the heck they are. They claim to be excellent trainers. I take my hat off to them for stepping up. But they got to learn a lot. So I've been watching some fights last night. And I'm saying to myself, some of these trainers are not training these fighters right. Watching the on Thursday night, there's some fights at the Hard Rock and Golden Boy promotion. I see some good potential. Fighters have great potentials to go all the way. But I didn't see them, no hooking off the jab. I didn't see no uppercuts or left hooks. I didn't see none of that. And I said to myself, this is what the trainers, what are they yelling at? Throw the right, throw left, throw right. Come on. Show them about the combinations. That's where you're going to really capitalize.
So the skill level kind of is become more spectacular than it used to be in the back?
The fans want to see the fighters all cut up and get knocked down. And, you know, I don't like to see that. I like to see fighters really real smart, slick fighters. Hit, don't get hit. Win. You can win a fight. You can look out. I mean, Oscar De La Hoya, look at Julio Cesar Chavez. He was another classic boxer who can punch. He can box. He didn't take that much punishment. But you need more skillful boxers out there today. I think, like I said before, the trainers have to be trained themselves.
What about some of the Eastern European fighters we've seen have some great success, specifically a Golovkin and one of my favorite fighters, Lomachenko, who is so much fun to watch from a tactical training standpoint. Obviously, his dad is his trainer.
Yeah, well, what happened is that back 25, 30 years back, Great Britain has potential fighters, a handful of decent ones, but now some of the American trainers have moved over there, and so those fighters have come over here, and they're getting trained by good trainers, decent trainers like Freddie Roach, Abel Sanchez, who was training Golovkin up until just recently. And so a lot of these trainers.
And Golovkin came on the scene late.
Yeah.
He was older.
Yeah. He had a great record. You know, he was an amateur, a great outstanding amateur. But some of these trainers that went over to Europe or some of those fighters came over here and they learned to train a lot better. And just like the officials in the United Kingdom, they learned to be better with the bigger fights throughout the years.
Was Muhammad Ali the best you ever saw?
Muhammad Ali was one of the great ones. You had Joe Louis, you had Rocky Marciano because of his unblemished record. You had a great fighter, Sugar Ray Robinson. To me, Sugar Ray Robinson was about the best one of all.
Anyone comparable today to those guys?
To those guys, as far as the records are concerned.
Canelo's pretty solid across the board.
Canelo is I say, another year or so, I can say yes. Right now, I would have seen fight a couple of more guys, tough fighters like Danny Jacobs. As far as the heavyweights are concerned, you have Deontay Wilder. His last name kind of goes with his style. He's a little wild.
Joshua.
And, Anthony Joshua, he's decent. He hasn't proven himself enough for me to say he's a
great
one.
Speaking of UK fighters.
Yeah, but he's on the way up for sure.
Yeah. How do you see tomorrow's fights going?
Tomorrow's fight is going to be a very competitive fight. A lot of fans feel like Danny Jacobs it's going to be on the losing side. I kind of agree with that. But Canelo Alvarez is going to have a tough fight. It's not going to be as easy. A lot of fans.
Obviously, Las Vegas thinks.
No, I think that Canelo will end up stopping Danny Jacobs with body blows in the late rounds.
Like 8, 9, or 10?
I think around the 10th round. I think Canelo Alvarez knows how to slip those punches. He has good defense. He gets under Jacobs' punches. Jacobs has good reach. And Canelo knows he got to slip on those punches, get inside the pocket, and bang him to the body. And those body shots were going to take kill the body, the head dies.
Sure, sure. I was impressed at how Canelo rebounded after his first fight with Golovkin, which some people thought Golovkin went to a draw. He came back and fought such a good fight against Gennady.
Yeah, the second fight, the rematch, was outstanding. He did real good, yeah.
Boxing Hall of Fame referee, Joe Cortez. The website is Firm But Fair?
Fair But Firm.
Fair but firm. I'll get it right, I promise.
Fair but firm. Thank
you so much for joining us this afternoon, and boy, we can't wait to talk to you again.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Jonathan Scott, we'll take a slight commercial break and come on back with Mr. Tom Bradley. Stay where you are.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head.
Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop back on 920 The Game. Also available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Alexa, and iHeartRadio. And, of course, you can find back shows on our website at VegasNonstop.com. Our next guest has lived in Vegas since 1969, growing up in Vegas with prominent people and close friends like Jerry Herbst, Alan Mark Collins, Bobby Baldwin, Michael Gaughan, retired senior Judge James Brennan, our friend Tom Bradley.
Thank you, Jonathan. Great to be here.
Tom, thanks. Thanks for joining us, first of all. It's great to have you here in the studio. Now, during the break, you were talking about the Boxing Hall of Fame in Canastoga?
Yes, we tried to put that together. I think it's been almost 30 years now. We had some special meetings here in Las Vegas. A lot of the boxers showed up. It just, for some reason, they couldn't get it on. My next-door neighbor was Joe Louis back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right off of Desert Inn, several prominent people lived in a cul-de-sac, and he was one of them. Every morning toward the end of his poor passing, his nurse would bring him by our front door. I would shake hands with him and say, hello, good morning, Mr. Lewis. It was a great feeling to meet someone that famous.
Oh, how about those hands?
Oh, boy.
Like stones.
I have big hands, but he had big hands.
And hard.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Tom, you've been in the glass business for many, many years, and I know that your brother and your son, your daughter, are now running the glass business. But I know your passion really has been in racing, and did you start in boat racing first, and then go to Baja?
I did. I was doing offshore racing. In fact, that's where I met Jerry Herbst because he was doing that also. But then someone invited me to ride in the Mint 400 in 1978, and I did that. And ever since then, I've been doing off-road racing.
Was it somebody that we know that invited you to do that?
It was. It was Al Collins.
Oh, I thought it was going to be KJ.
I thought you were going to say KJ. Yeah.
Al and Mark Collins were very prominent in this town, building houses and business people. They were very close friends also with Jerry Herbst and Michael Gaughan, and they all got into off-road racing at the same time.
Now, not an inexpensive hobby.
Well, they outclassed me in the dollar department, but we all had so much fun that we just kept on doing it. It was an amazing time.
Let's talk about the boat racing first. From 1970 to 1978, you were doing that?
We were doing it for about 8 years. We were doing offshore races. We did the Bahama Cup down in Florida. We were doing Long Beach Catalina every year, pulling a skier at 70 miles an hour. That took a special kind of skier.
Yeah, with a helmet.
With a helmet, and they had on a banana ski about 6 inches wide and 6 feet long.
Oh, it was a single ski.
Single ski.
Both feet on one ski.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
and
not
then
fun.
From there, I got off into flat bottom Sanger boats at 100 miles an hour. They're small boats with 494 Dominator engines in them.
You hit anything and you're flying.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing that got me out of it. My mother.
I was going to say, I've always looked at those boats and thought they really want to be planes.
I mean, well, I've spent time on the water growing up on the East Coast and obviously fishing and whatever, and we're not racing, but 100 miles an hour on the water is like doing 200 on land.
Yeah, there's no white line to follow.
No.
You're making your own line.
And that's just it. Yeah. You know, you catch someone's wake or anything, you're done.
Exactly right. You have, even though it's only 19 feet long, you have a thing called a cavitation plate you can push with your left foot and bring your nose back down. Otherwise, that air gets under there and will flip you
right backwards.
Straight up and backwards, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we're here with Tom Bradley in studio talking about what I heard was the most dangerous racing of all was the cigarette boat racing.
Well, you know, they're a lot larger, and they have two quite large engines. But no, the front of that can be cavitated down. The reason you say that is look at Jerry Herbst.
Yeah, tell that story.
God bless his soul. Yes, we will. We were in the Bahamas, and I may have to correct myself by talking to his sons, but Jerry flipped a boat. He got chimed out.
What does that mean?
Chimed up in the air. The boat chimed and turned over.
And he went backwards.
Yes, and Jerry's left arm was caught in the steering wheel. And it changed his life because everybody said if they ever died and wanted to come back as somebody, they said, I'd like to come back as Jerry Herbst because he was Mr. Everything. And that racing that time changed his life.
Why was he Mr. Everything? For those that don't know.
Well, those of us that grew up here with Jerry and the Collins and Michael and all those, Jerry was just your class act in everything he did, his business, his family. You meet him in a restaurant somewhere. He was the first one to jump up and say hello. And he was just a class act.
Why did he call it Terribles?
I think his father named that. He was second generation there. When I came here, he only had two gas stations. I think there's 170 of them now.
They're everywhere. They're on every corner.
They are. The three sons now run it, Eddie, Timmy, and Troy. They all three are class acts there.
And is the Silver 7 still theirs as well? Is that theirs?
Yeah. No.
Well, it's not? I don't know if it is or not.
I don't want to comment on the accuracy of that, but I think most of the gaming got changed around in 2008.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
I think the Silver 7 changed hands a couple of years ago.
What happened is they now own the new one out there at Gene, Nevada.
Oh,
Terrible. Yeah, they used to be the Gold Strike.
Oh, at State Line.
Yeah. Just before they
bought that, and they built that, the world's largest gas station across the street.
Right, right, right. I've been there. That's where the outlet stores are.
And it has a wonderful candy store.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that.
Tom and I go for happy hour every once in a while over at Del Frisco's. I just love the jelly beans. I'm there for the jelly beans.
That's a great time.
1978 to 2018. You retired now from racing, but you were doing the Baja racing.
Yeah, for the last 18 years, I've been racing in Mexico. I've won 7 Mexican national championships in unlimited Class 8 trucks.
So what are those vehicles like?
Well, they're expensive.
We're talking about $250,000?
Yeah, that's about right. The engines alone run $30,000 to $40,000. The class I was in equates to a trophy truck, except the truck is built by a manufacturer. Mine was a Chevrolet. A trophy truck is built like a NASCAR. It's made out of tubes. So they can build it any way they want. But I had the same engine they had. But trophies run as the top professional class in off-road racing.
So you did it for 18 years. What was the excitement level that would keep you engaged for 18 years doing it?
You know, every time you get in an off-road truck and put that helmet on, you're not breathing the outside air. You're breathing nice, clean air. You've got a water tube that you can drink cool water. But you're not...
Constant tube?
It's fed
running through.
It's fed underneath your helmet. Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, you got to have it because your mouth gets dry from
all the dust and air.
Wondering where the next hole is that you're going to hit at 100 miles an hour.
Man,
that sounds exciting.
Yeah, all of our sons now have gone on. Jerry Herbst's three sons, Eddie, Timmy, and Troy, are still racing. Mark Collins' son is still racing. Bobby Baldwin's son, BJ, is still racing, and my son is still racing, and they've all won championships.
Any close calls?
Well, I rolled a car 10 times. I rolled one where I lost my knee, and had to have it totally rebuilt.
I was going to say, it looks like you found it. I
did. Exactly.
This is a loner knee.
I was lucky. I lost this knee in the Frontier 500 in 1987.
And when you say you lost it, the kneecap became dislocated from?
Totally disconnected.
Wow.
All the ligaments below the knee were severed, and the knee jumped up on my thigh. That's how bad it was. I was lucky that a famous doctor was in the hospital that night, and he saw me, and he came over and said, "Who is that?" And they said, "Well, it's Tom Bradley. He just got hurt in the Frontier." And he says, "Well, get him ready. I'll fix it." And the nurse says, "Well, you don't do knees anymore." He's a famous back doctor. He says, "No, but I'll do that one."
I thought you were going to tell me you woke up with your knee in your back.
No, he did a great job. I have all my own parts. I'm great.
How many different classes are there in Baja?
Well, that's the thing. It's about 15 races in one race. It starts with trophies and cars and goes to motorcycles.
And they're all running at the same time?
Behind each other. They'll start the motorcycles 4 hours ahead of us to let them get out of the way.
Sure.
Then they'll start trucks. That's us. Trophies and eights, and then cars all the way back.
How much of the track is just regular rough terrain as opposed to graded road?
Oh, I'd say 75% is rough, and you get some graded roads.
Wow.
In Mexico, though, they love us so much. They don't like us up here. The BLM hates us. We, down there, even the governor shows up for the off-road races.
Bureau of Land Management.
And they bring out all the, exactly, they bring all the military come out. They act as security for free.
Oh, yeah.
Up here, you have to fight for every permit we get to race.
Now, there's not a big purse. It's really just for getting a trophy, right?
No, it's about the dream.
You know, of winning.
Exactly right. And there's a lot of sponsorships. There's no money because the people aren't paying to see it.
Right, right, right.
They're sitting out in the desert with their case of beer.
It's not like 100,000 people up at the raceway watching NASCAR.
They paid a lot of money.
They paid a lot of money to get in. They're spending money on beer and concessions and other things.
Exactly right. We all have 50, 60,000 people in the desert, but they didn't pay anything.
Yeah. We're about to take a break. Well, let's plug the glass company a little bit. What's the name if people are looking for glass for either their business or their house?
Is this glass like windows?
Well, yes. The company now is Windows Plus. It does a commercial glass, custom glass, and we do a lot of multi-housing.
I mean, you've done casinos, you've done hotels, you've done it all, right?
We split that up recently. My brother does all the commercial work. My son now is taking over the residential, and I'm going fishing.
Whoa. Where do you fish?
Well, I like, I'm in Cabo, of course. Deep sea fishing is wonderful.
Yeah, of course. You're fishing for
tuna. I go up to Utah, I go to Parowan. That's really good.
Okay.
There's some great lakes.
Where in Utah?
Parowan. It's just north of Cedar City.
What do you catch there?
A trout, mostly.
Okay. Are you a fly fisherman?
I am.
Wow.
Like, I'll try anything that'll bite that hook, I'll work with it.
I'm the same way.
Up near Pioche is a nice lake also. Eagle Reservoir.
Tom Bradley from Windows Plus, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're looking for glass for either your residential or your commercial business, you can find Windows Plus, and Tom will pass you on to somebody in his family. Will take care of you real good, huh?
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Tom Bradley. We're taking a short commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Stay right where you are.
Hey, Las Vegas. Are you looking for a new job, changing careers, or are you looking to hire that perfect new employee? Mike Holton Staffing Resources has positions open in all fields, including the hospitality industry. Do you need an administrative assistant, a bookkeeper, a receptionist, or a salesperson? With over 40 years in job placement, Mike Holton Staffing Resources can help you be happy in a new and fulfilling career, or help you fill that hard-to-find job. Mike Holton Staffing Resources, human resource professionals. For a personal interview, call Jennifer at 702-805-1493. That's 702-805-1493.
Job in the Sky, Vegas, nonstop here on 920 The Game. Also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Alexa, and iHeartRadio. We had a great time over at Sapphire Pool today. My friend Tom White was joining me.
We did, and I had very little to say. I was just there for the boobs.
Jeffrey with the G-Line 1 Go Ahead was also at the topless pool this afternoon.
I did. I was able to swing by. I was around the corner with some customers, looked at my watch. I said, hey, it's almost 1. I know where Johnny is at 1 o'clock on Fridays.
That's right. We'll be back on Friday, noon to 2, over at Sapphire's Pool and Day Spa, where the drinks are flowing and the boobs are showing. Huh. That's the slogan that we wrote that. Vegas is known for its outrageous pool parties, and Sapphire Pool and Day Club is one of the best. If you're in Vegas, drive over and visit us. Or you can call Sapphire for a free limo pickup and drop off. Sapphire Pool and Day Spa connected to the world-famous Sapphire Gentlemen's Club with hundreds of the most beautiful women in the world and a few ugly ones.
The ugly ones are extra, though.
That's not nice. There were no ugly girls there today.
Of course, it is the 145th Kentucky Derby, running for the roses at Churchill Downs, with Game Winner as the morning line at 4-1. Roadster is the 9-2 second choice, with Improbable and Maximum Security at 6-1. Post time is at 3:50 in the afternoon, with prop bets offered at the Westgate, William Hill, and Stations Casinos sports books. Here, gentlemen, is the field. I think it's changed a little bit. But
well, we don't have 20 horses anymore. We have 19.
Because there's only showing 19. This was from the morning.
Oh, there's no one horse. So
yeah,
there's 19.
No one horse. But I think some of these have been scratched already too.
No, there was only one horse that was scratched. That was Omaha.
Omaha Beach, and then another one today, Calakill or something along those lines.
Yeah, I think there was another one that was scratched.
It's not on this list. So.
It's not? Okay.
I did hear though on the way over. I got a little side tip that Maximum Security seems to be the. Inside favorite.
Well, it's.
I have bets on two horses right now that I've already placed.
Oh, yeah?
And you'll notice that I got Maximum Security at 8-1.
That's a good bet, I think.
And I got Improbable at 6.5-1. So I put those in, as someone also told me that in his eyes, given the weather, it's supposed to be a wet track. And
is it a mutter?
His mutter was
a mutter.
His mutter is a mutter.
And they say that Maximum Security will do well on a wet track. But I also always like Mike Smith just because of his pedigree. And he was originally on Omaha Breach, and he's now on Cutting Humor.
And that's my horse.
I like Cutting Humor as well.
I like Cutting Humor because I just bet the names. I just bet them by the
name. Well, you know, if you're going to...
I'll look at the jockey, but...
If you go that way and you look at number three horse, Tax, you can't make that bet because he says he's going down, but you know he's going up.
Yeah, the taxes are going up.
Not to mention coming off in the three hole very hard off the rail to win that race.
So here's the field. And again, if you go by names... You'll
How about Gray Magician in the five hole with Drayden Van Dyke?
Yeah, well, shocker, the magician, Greg Dow, that's with us in the afternoons, he went with Gray Magician. And he said it was he thought
just
David,
because he liked the name.
Well, yeah, he thought David Copperfield owned the horse.
Could be. I know Baffert's got at least three.
Which are the Baffert horses? Do we know?
Three horses in this race.
Do we know what they are?
I don't. But I'll
read them.
Right,
I'll read War of Will. Tax, By My Standards, Gray Magician, Improbable, Vekoma, Maximum Security, Tacitus, which sounds like a disease.
I think it's Tacitus.
It's Tacitus.
It still sounds like a disease.
Okay, it does. It's or something you put on your feet to keep them from sweating.
Yes. Plus K Parfait sounds like a dessert. Cutting Humor, which sounds like should be my winning horse. And it's also the number 11, which is 1-1.
So Baffert's got three of the favorites in the race.
Okay, what are they?
He's got Game Winner. He's got Roadster.
Game Winner.
Those are way on the outside so far, 15 and 16.
And Game Winner at 15. And then Improbable in the six hole.
That's your horse.
Correct. I like Improbable.
So those are Bobby Baffert's got three in every way.
That's what you are. Yeah.
Yes. Vekoma, Magnier, Tacitus, plus K Parfait, Cutting Humor, Code of Honor, Win-Win-Win, Master Fencer, Game Winner, Roadster, Long Range Toddy, Spinoff, Country House, and Boat Express.
You can basically write off 18 through 20, as I don't think a horse has ever won on the outside.
Oh, God. How can they possibly get in?
I don't know.
Although, with a wet track, that would be their only advantage if you had a speedster on the outside.
I don't know. But I always bet the trifecta just like as you would imagine I would. Right?
Yeah. So what I normally do is I pick four horses that I like.
Yeah.
Maybe one favorite and three medium to long shots, and I just do a four horse box exacta, which means any combination of those four horses finishing first or second, and you win.
That's even tougher than my trifecta.
No.
Box.
Not even close. I just need first and second.
Oh, you just need first
any and combination of those four horses placing first or second, and I win.
Oh. So how do you call that again?
Instead of just an exacta, it's a box exacta.
Is that called a superfecta?
The superfecta would be for four horses.
Okay, so you pick four, but any two of them.
You have a single bet, you have an exacta, you have a trifecta, and you have a superfecta.
Okay, so what's yours is again?
Mine has two horses.
So how do you call it into the window?
A box exacta. So I would say, hypothetically, if I have, I'm taking Roadster, Improbable. What was the one you had?
Well, I've got Cutting Humor.
Maximum Security.
So I would say into the window, I'd say, let me have a 6, 8, 15, 16, $10 box exacta.
So what does that cost you, $40?
No, it cost me more than that, probably
$80?
I believe so.
But you could do it for $1 also.
You could do it for whatever you want.
No, $1 would be the least amount that you can do.
I'm sorry, you're not going up there and say, give me 50 cents.
Jared likes that. Jared would do that.
I bet the Infecta, which is the last three horses to cross the finish line.
Anyway, also 6 p.m. Saul Canelo Alvarez with 51 wins, 1 loss, 2 ties, and 35 knockouts versus Danny Jacobs at 35 wins, 2 losses, 29 knockouts for the WBA, WBC, and IBF middleweight titles at T-Mobile Arena. Alvarez is favored -450. This is the morning line.
I'm up to 500 now.
-500
with Jacobs? +350 on Jacobs.
So what's your, it was 350 this morning.
Yeah, so it's -500 on Canelo, +350 on Jacobs. But what's more interesting to me that somewhere I just showed Tom, you know, listening to an expert.
Well,
that's
what I was going to say.
He doesn't think the fight's going to go the distance.
Right.
And so the over-under on rounds is 10.5. The under is +210.
It's 25-1
what?
That it goes 10 rounds.
Exactly.
25-1. That's a decent bet, huh?
Yeah, but that means you're picking the exact round. It has to end in the 10th. This bet here, over under 10.5, it means if Canelo or Jacobs ends the fight at any time before the minute and a half mark of the 10th round, that's a winner at +210-1.
So under 10 and a half.
210-100. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, jokes seem to be on Canelo's side here, but at the same time, I kind of got the impression he thinks Jacobs could make a move here.
He said, I don't know why Canelo's people took this fight.
I know, and that to me, that was pretty specific.
Especially coming off two very tough fights with Golovkin, where he had to train his ass off.
So what does $10 pay? Pays $25?
$21.
Under
10 and a half, yeah. But $10 will pay $35 if you take Roberts and he wins.
Well, it's going to be fun. I mean, we've got the Kentucky Derby.
I know.
We've got the main event.
By the way, we haven't even talked about, we're deep into NHL and NBA playoffs.
I know. But we're going to take our first commercial break. Another
NHL playoffs
break.
Are still going on?
That's right, Vegas Knights fans. Hockey is still being played. And they're all booing the Sharks who lost last night.
You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game, also on iTunes and Alexa and Spotify and Google Play. And don't forget to visit our website at vegasnonstop.com. We're going to take another quick commercial break and come on back with NBA, NHL, and more stuff. Stay right where you are.
More stuff.
Kevin Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Also on iTunes, Google Play, Alexa, iHeartRadio, and of course on our website at vegasnonstop.com. And we've got a new Roku channel. You can go to Primetime on Roku. If you're one of the 35 million people that have Roku boxes, go to Primetime and you can find Vegas Nonstop on Primetime. 8 p.m., former Grateful Dead bassist Phil Lesh and friends performs Deadhead music with a rotating cast of collaborators at The Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel. What's your favorite Dead song, Jeffrey with a G?
I'm a big fan of Truckin'.
Me too.
Truckin'.
Yeah, that was it. Got my chips cashed in.
Yep. I also love Sugar Magnolia.
Yeah, I like Come Here, Uncle John's Band, for obvious reasons.
I was lucky enough to see the Dead about 7 times.
Genesis of Henderson.
Saw a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. Said you can't look back. You can never look
Brian
back.
Brian Adams.
That's Don Henley.
Don Henley. Boys of Summer.
Yep.
Yeah. Genesis
of
Henderson.
Jared. He's like, what are you guys talking about?
Hyundai of Henderson, Genesis of Henderson presents the Lake Las Vegas Birthday Wine and Food Festival starring Frankie Marino and Fireworks. Tickets are available at lakelasvegas.com. That's going to be a lot of fun. Our friend Frankie Shinta performs at 7:30 at the South Point Hotel. And Saturday, 10:30 p.m., Grammy Award winner Drake takes the stage at XS Nightclub at the Wynn. Tickets start at a mere $150. for Drake. Wednesday, 8
at,
p.m.
At 25 to 1.
Swedish heavy metal guitarist Yngwie Malmsteen is going to be shredding at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. Tickets for Yngwie are only $27.50. Bruno Mars is at the Park Theater at MGM. Tickets start at $86. Our friend legendary comic George Wallace appears at the Westgate Hotel and Casino. George, one of the best stand-up comics you're ever going to see. Bronx Wanderers are at the Link. Tenors of Rock at Planet Hollywood. Zombie Burlesque at Planet Hollywood. Heartbreak Hotel, the new concert experience at Harrah's Las Vegas, showcases Elvis Presley's rise to stardom with amazing archival videos, never seen before photos of the King of Rock and Roll starring Eddie Clendenning, who stars as Elvis, started out as Elvis in Broadway's Million Dollar Quartet. Must see for all you Elvis fans. Thank you very much.
Not your regular Elvis show, however.
No.
You'll really enjoy this.
Yeah, it was a good time, and we encourage you to go see it and support live shows. Watch Vegas Nonstop on our new Roku channel. I mentioned Primetime, and listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa, on our website. And we're here with Tom White and Jeffrey with the G Line One. Go ahead. We had Joe Cortez in the studio earlier, and Tom Bradley was with us talking about Baja racing. And what we haven't talked about is NBA Finals, NHA Finals. We've talked about the Derby. We've talked about boxing. Jeffrey with the G Line One, go ahead. What you want to pick first? NBA?
Oh my God, there's so much. There's so much to talk about. I mean,
where are the Warriors at now? Odds.
Well, they're still got to be the favorite. I mean,
yeah, and I there was just a thing too. They're having, they're not playing as well as they have in the past.
No, and for a lot of reasons. Listen, they lost Boogie Cousins coming into the series. They're playing a very good Houston team. They don't play great defense to begin with, and this isn't the same Warriors team we've seen throughout the year. Durant, there's been a rift. There's been
problems,
chemistry issues amongst the entire team. I mean, you know,
there are chemistry issues amongst the entire league right now, as far as I can
see.
There are there's
chemistry issues in my house. I just can't get
it. Wrong kind of chemistry.
Yeah, I have chemistry issues in my head, but the relationship right now between the NBA referees and the players has never been worse.
Correct.
And it's to me,
terrible.
To me, it's I'm one of those guys that every time I see a foul in basketball, I think of pass interference, because how do you really know it was a foul? You take an elbow to the eye and you knock a guy down and you continue playing, and then you reach over and touch him on the shoulder and the whistle blows, and I've always been confused about that.
I love the one where a guy's behind the three-point line and all he does is throw himself into the defender in the air and he's going to the line to shoot three.
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy can just stand there.
And the ball's already out of his hand.
Oh, yeah.
He's already made the shot, and then he initiates contact.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't call that the other night.
I know. They swallowed the whistle, and the NBA came out and said they should have.
Yes, and all hell broke loose. So
listen, the Warriors are up 2-0 on Houston. They're going back to Houston for tomorrow's game, and Houston's actually favored in this game.
I'm not surprised.
By 3.5 points?
Well, that's one shot, so.
To me, it just, listen, I'll take the chalk plus the points every time, right?
You know, you have these runs, and Golden State has had their runs. With the exception of the Patriots, nobody seems to ever maintain them. And
I'm so glad you said that.
I had no choice. And when you've got a team that has played together as long as they have, what have they won? Are they on a three-peat?
Three.
Yeah.
No, not if they win this year, I think it will. They've won three of four.
Yeah. So that's a really hard thing to keep together, particularly with a team that where your roster size is so small. You're going to have enough turnover you're going to lose that one little, you know, cog that makes everything work.
And here's the other problem with Golden State. They field five All-Stars to start. With Boogie Cousins out, that bench is very thin.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so you come into playoff basketball, you're a little gassed. The defense is much more intense. The up and down the court, that's more physical.
And everyone, you've got a target on your back. Everyone's coming for you.
And you know they're going to double Durant and hopefully, you know, Steph or Draymond or you know, one of Clay's
who's not been having a great series by any stretch of the imagination.
Rumor is that he's injured as well, and he has been off and on all year. You know, a guy like that with a groin, he goes to pull up. That's everything for him.
Yep.
So
Warriors are favored by 3.5 as far as the morning line.
Tomorrow night.
Houston. No, tonight, actually. Right. Remember, we're in tape delay. Remember, I got to remind
you.
Tonight. Tonight at 219.5 are the Oilers.
I'll take the under. I'll take the under in every game.
Yeah?
Yeah. I took the under last night in the Sixers game. It came in. These lines are inflated based on the regular season offense, and it's not the same in the postseason.
Okay, talk hockey with me. We've got only a few minutes left.
Man. I mean, there's so much to talk about in hockey. Last night, the Sharks lost to Colorado to tie the series at 2.
A foggy day in London town.
You can't.
You're very vocal tonight.
You know what's funny is Tom's reaction is very indicative of most Vegas fans that are still bitter about losing in Game 7 to the Sharks, and I understand that. But Vegas fans, listen to me. This is what rivalries are made of, okay? So next year, when the Sharks come in here to T-Mobile, you have a reason to start booing and getting excited and throwing things at Sharks fans. Because that's how it is when Boston plays Montreal, Islanders play the Rangers, when the Flyers play the Penguins.
So there's no rivalry without heartbreak.
Correct, and this is heartbreak.
Yep.
2 years in a row to some extent.
I said last week, I hope that in 50 years, when they look back on the history of the Golden Knights, this season is their worst down point in their entire history.
They should be so lucky.
To be up 3-1 and go to game 7 is horrendous. And then to be up 3-0 with 10 minutes to play and lose, regardless of the penalty,
bad,
we all know what happened.
But you got to live under what happens in the game.
You're still up by 3 goals. And to lose, lowest point in their history, I hope, 50 years from now.
Seasons, lowest point of their history.
50 years from now,
listen,
I hope it
still
is.
Listen, tell that to Maple Leafs fans who have been around for 80 years and they haven't won a cup in almost 60
years. You bet on my Cubs this week?
I bet on your Cubs yesterday. They were at home against arch rival St. Louis, and the Cubs are underdogs at home, and I love betting home dogs this time of year, especially good teams like the Cubs that are not playing their best baseball. Their record is not maybe indicative of the team that they are, like the Red Sox, and you get tremendous value at home for a team like that playing an arch rival like St. Louis. I don't have to tell you, Cubbies fans get excited when the Cardinals come to town.
Tom, you want to pick your four horses? You want to bet with Jeffrey?
Yeah, I would be going definitely Maximum Security, Cutting Humor, Game Winner, and Roadster. 8,
I like Gray Magician and Drayden Van Dyke.
I'm going to go.
Oh,
and it's Drayden Van Dyke.
Dream Magician would be Drayden Van Dyke.
I'm going Improbable and Maximum Security because I already have them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go in with Cutting Humor with Mike Smitty on. I love Smitty.
Yeah.
And by the way, John Velasquez has won how many derbies? I love the name Code of Honor.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with 6-8. I'm going to go 11, and I like Game Winner, 11-15.
Give me your pen. I'm going to write it down. Call them out again.
Just go 6-8, 11-15.
And that's a box.
That's a four-horse box exacta.
Box exacta.
$10 costs $120.
Except when you get the coupon in the box, then it's a 10% off.
I want to thank all of our guests all day today. Eddie Clendenning from Heartbreak Hotel joined us earlier. Greg Dow, Chris DeKay, Tom White again, Hall of Fame boxing ref Joe Cortez, retired Baja racer Tom Bradley. I always want to thank Jared, our board operator, and my girlfriend Melissa, just because.
Thank Melissa.
We all thank Melissa.
Thank you,
So
Melissa.
Eat well, party hard. If you see us out, please say hello.
Buy us a drink.
And like us and share us. And again, you can find us on iTunes and go to the website at vegasnonstop.com. Eat well and party hard, my friends. Jonathan Scott, be nice to each other. Peace out.